Last time I had skipped this passage and I had gone into chapter 18, so instead of messing up the notes and the MP3 recordings, we're going back and covering up the passage that I missed. I've never had this happen before, but maybe there's a reason. Tonight we're in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 through 27, call to repentance surrounding Jerusalem's city gates. God chose to present descriptive illustrations to sharpen his message to Judah that she needed to repent. One such descriptive illustration involved Jerusalem's city gates, and we view it for our instruction as follows. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 17, 19 to 27. Thus said the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not. Neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stick, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hear unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if you will not hearken unto me, to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Okay. For you and for me who are sitting here tonight, if we say the city gates, what's the big deal about the city gates? Like the church door. You know, what's the big deal about the church door? The culture of the time, you have to look at the culture of the time, the city gates were the center of the civic activity of a city. The city gates were not only the entrances and exits of a walled city that helped make it secure, but they were the civic centers used for many public purposes in the economy of the state. If you were a farmer, you lived in the city of Jerusalem, you'd have to go through the gates to get out to your farm so you can do your work. If you were a merchant, and you were bringing your wares from outside the city into the city to sell them in the marketplace, you'd have to go through the city gates. If you had a legal case, a court case, you had to go to the city gates because the elders of the town sat in the city gates. There was sort of a compartment area there, and you would have your trial there. Remember when Boaz wanted to see if he could get the hand of Ruth in marriage? He went to the city gates. And he sat there. So the city gates was kind of like the civic center in Hartford, or like the capital in Hartford. It was the center of the activity that affected the whole nation, especially since Jerusalem was the capital of the entire nation. The people would come in and out. All the people in the nation would come, and as they came to the Passover and so forth, they came through the city gates. So the city gates was sort of like the narrow artery through which everything in the nation flowed. So God chose to illustrate Judah's need to repent regarding her activities involving Jerusalem's city gates, showing how repentance was needed to affect the civic and the public realms of import related to the gates. Jeremiah was to give a message on the use of the city gates related to keeping the Sabbath. The Lord directed his prophet Jeremiah to go and stand in the gate by which the Judah's kings and the people went in and out of the city, and to do so in all of Jerusalem's city gates. See, there was a gate that the king used. It might have been the eastern gate right next to the temple, or it might have been the Benjamin gate, which would have been the north. The kings would often go out, and they would set their pavilion up just outside the gate. And they like to make contact with the people so that they get, is, you know, for politics. It's like a going out and squeezing the flesh, they say, with a politician, you know, shaking hands and meeting people. And often the kings would do make justice and so forth, but they would get out there and meet the people near the gates. And the people would go in and out of the gates. And whether you were upper or lower class, whether you were king or servant, whether you were rich or poor, essentially affected all of Judah's society. Kind of like Interstate 84, okay, or Interstate 91. Everybody rides on those things because you have to do it. If you're going to and from Hartford, you're going through there. In each gate, Jeremiah was to tell all the kings and the people who used the gate to avoid violating the Sabbath law restriction against carrying a burden through the gate on the Sabbath day. Now, if you stop and think about it, that if you're going to violate the Sabbath, that's exactly where the violation of the Sabbath would occur, because the farmers, if they chose to work on the Sabbath or carry burdens, they would be going through the gates carrying their burdens on the Sabbath. So it's very easy to see if people were keeping the law or not. Just stand at the city gate on the Sabbath day, and the people carrying these big loads or the merchants bringing their wares in and so forth, they're violating the law. So it was very obvious, and God pointed this out so everybody could see the sin. The sin was right there. People were carrying these burdens on the Sabbath day. So Jeremiah was to direct the people to avoid even carrying burdens out of their houses or to do any work, that would be servile work, but to keep the Sabbath day holy as God had directed their forefathers. It's interesting. In one of the places in the Old Testament, the prophet, I think it was Moses, said that God wanted the Sabbath so that people would rest and be refreshed. That was very different from the pagan world. In the pagan world, every seventh day was an unlucky day. It's kind of like in America, you know, the Friday the 13th, it's sort of supposed to be a spooky day. And every seventh day was a very unlucky day, so you would flagellate yourself, you would make life hard on yourself so that the gods wouldn't judge you. But God took the seventh day, and he said, no, it's a day of rest. And he says, I want my people to rest. And it became a testimony of God's benevolence, God's grace, versus the pagan gods that beat up their people on the seventh day. So the seventh day is very, very important in view of its cultural background. Well, the fathers had not obeyed the Lord, but had rebelled that they might not receive his instruction. But if Judah's kings and people heeded the Sabbath day relative to their use of the city gates, the Lord would use those gates as a focal point of his extensive blessing to all of Judah's society. Were the king and the people to heed the Lord in contrast to their forefathers' rebellion, keeping the Sabbath day holy by bringing no burden through the city gates, God would cause kings and princes to enter those gates and sit on the Davidic throne. Men riding in chariots and on horses with their officials and the men of Judah in pomp, wealth, and national strength. That's always important to see the people who were in power coming through with pomp and strength. That made the people feel good. Also, in addition, the city of Jerusalem would be inhabited forever, meaning there would be no Gentile invading force that would destroy and take Jerusalem's inhabitants captive. You see, the reason they had walls around the cities in those days, they didn't have a national defense system like you and I have. We have a government that looks out for us. They have radar and so forth. But in those days, you didn't know where the enemy was. So you had a walled city. And then even people who lived out in the countryside and out in the villages, they could scramble, come into the city behind the closed gates, and they could save their lives in case there was an invasion. So the city gates were important, but the walls are very, very important. So if God said that there would never, ever be any invading force that would make the city destroyed, that would be peace. And that was unknown in the ancient world, practically, except where God was helping Israel and she was obeying him. Often, city-states would invade other city-states and nations, and there was typically unrest all over the place. Also, the people of Judah would come through Jerusalem's gates from the outlying regions, people from the tribe of Benjamin, that's to the north, from the Shephelah, that's the word for the foothills that fell from Jerusalem, which was on the hill, and fell down towards the lowlands of the plain of Sharon to the west, and from the hill country and Negev. Negev is the word for the south or for the desert country in southern Judah. the wilderness region to the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings, incense, and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. In other words, God said, you're going to see people coming from all directions. They're going to be coming towards the city of Jerusalem. They're going to be bringing all these offerings. And these offerings indicate that there's a tremendous amount of wealth and bounty that God's blessed the people with. And they're bringing their thank offerings and their praise offerings to the Lord. It's kind of like our Thanksgiving Eve service, where we come and we thank the Lord and testify to the Lord of the blessings that God has given us. God said that's what's going to happen. You're going to be, people will be bringing their bounty and their offerings to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord for the blessings that he's given to them. The existence of these bountiful offerings coming from every direction, all around Jerusalem, entering the city gates, would indicate peace, prosperity for the whole nation, due to God's blessing in accordance with the Mosaic covenant of Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1-14. I'll just briefly look at that passage. It's a wonderful, it's called the Mosaic covenant. And God promised the people of Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings, all of them, shall come upon thee and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Those are references to going for war, going out for war and coming in. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God shall give thee, etc., etc. Just amazing the blessings that God promised to pour out on the people if they obeyed him, if they obeyed the law and did what the Lord wanted them to do. However, if the people and the kings of Judah chose not to listen to the Lord, as had their stubborn, rebellious forefathers in choosing not to observe the Sabbath day restriction, God would kindle a fire in the gates, a fire that would destroy the palaces of Jerusalem, indicating the fall of the king and thus of the kingdom with all of its people due to an invasion by a Gentile nation, a fire that would not be quenched in a prolonged national discipline. It's interesting, many times when the people would be invaded, it would be through the city gates. And often they would try to put most of the soldiers at the city gates so they'd have battering rams that would take down a part of the wall somewhere. But the gates were the focal point of action in war, also the focal point of action in peace. So this is a very important lesson in view of the life of the people who were living in Jerusalem at the time. So using the city gates, the focal point of Jerusalem's and thus of the nation's civic and economic life, Jeremiah proclaimed Judah's need to observe the Sabbath day, not carrying burdens through the gates on that day, that God might bless the nation by having bounty pass through those gates. However, were the people and the kings to rebel against the Lord in violating the Sabbath, God would punish them by starting a fire in the city gates that would spread to consume the royal palace, a symbol of national invasion and captivity and punishment, God's punishment. So in application, may we obey God not only in our church-related functions, but also in our civic and economic realms of life, that we might enjoy the Lord's blessing and not face his discipline. God wants us to obey him when we're in school. God wants us to obey him when we're shopping at Price Chopper. All right? He wants us to obey him when we're in Home Depot or Lowe's or something. He wants us to bless him, to obey him when we're driving by the police station. All sorts of ways to bless and to obey the Lord. Since the Sabbath day rest was designed to testify to the pagan world God's grace, who gave his people rest versus paganism's harsh false deities who enslaved people on the seventh day, May we avoid living by unbiblical, false, harsh, man-made rules and live by God's grace, heeding His word and the Spirit's power. See, God wants us to be testimonies to our fallen world of life by grace. I was thinking about this. We've probably heard of this man by the name of Ray Moore, who is running for a seat in Alabama. Okay, he's been charged with having done some bad things to people, some women in particular. What bothers me about this, I mean, if the man is guilty, I believe he needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But what really bothers me about this, there are people who are calling for him to step down when they're just allegations. They're not proven. And that bothers me. In our country, a person is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But this man, he vows that he's totally innocent, and he may not be. I don't know. But they need to have a trial first before, you know, they hang him out to dry. And so the order at which this thing is going on bothers me intently. And it's not gracious. It's anything but gracious. We really need to be known as people who are grace-oriented, who honor the Lord, and who are law-abiding citizens. We live according to the laws of the land, the laws of the city, the laws of the state. There's a great need for that. And I think that we would do well to heed the laws of God. It works the other way, too. I mean, this shooter who came into this church in Texas and gunned down these people, I mean, he lost his life, obviously. But, you know, that needs to be stopped. Action needs to be taken, and it needs to be swift. Any terrorist of any kind, as far as I'm concerned, it should be an automatic death penalty, and it should be carried out to hinder that occurring. But God wants us to be people who are known by His grace, unmerited favor. God help us to do that. Mm-hmm.